Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC Monthly Conference Call on Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2013. The time is 14:06 UTC. And immediately, first thing is the adoption of the agenda and call for any other business or other amendments. Anyone want to add? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. Okay, so let's go on and immediately have the roll call. Gisela, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Alan Greenberg, Carlton Samuels, Yelvi Atuhun, Eduardo Diaz, Dev Anand Tilak-Singh, Holly Raich, Evan Leibovich, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Julie Hammer, João Carlos Caribe, Ron Sherwood, Maureen Hilliard, Aubrey Doria, Winthrop Yu. We do not have anyone on the French channel. On the Spanish channel, we have Juan Manuel Rojas, Fatima Cambronero, and Alberto Soto. We have apologies noted from Renalia Abdul Rahim, Garth Brun, and Tijani Benjima. From staff, we have Matt Ashtiani, Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today on the Spanish channel are Veronica and David, and on the French channel, Claire and Fernanda. Just a reminder to please state your names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channels, which is very important. And also, if you are on the audio bridge, to please mute your computer speakers and microphones. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And have we missed anyone by any chance? It doesn't look like we've missed anybody. Okay, right. So let's get on with this call. There are quite a few things that we are going to have to talk about today. So the first thing is to review the action items from our last call on the 26th of February. I invite you all to open this from the agenda page. And we'll just be looking at the open action items and the newly assigned action items. So the open action items, there are four of them. The first two relate to the World Conference on International Telecommunications. The first one being that I myself am supposed to draft a statement on my experiences at the WCIT, and the statement is to be posted on the at-large statement on WCIT Outcomes Workspace. And the second one is that Evan and Jean-Jacques Subrenard are to lead the Future Challenges Working Group on a more extensive statement on the issues raised at the WCIT. With the amount of work that we've recently had, unfortunately, I have not yet drafted a first draft for the statement. But in the meantime, I do invite you all to read the full report, which I have sent to the ALAC list a few weeks ago. And if you do have any comments about it, then please pass it over, send them over to me. That would really help in the drafting of the statement. The larger report was sent to Fadi Shehade and also with a copy to Nigel Hickson, the Director of Policy Director of Policy, I believe. And Nigel has replied and has asked whether he should meet with us at some point. And this is still in the works. I think it would be a good idea that he passes by, that we discuss the wider Internet governance issues. Next, the issue of who is to be added as an issue to be addressed by the at-large capacity-building working group. And that is... sorry, I did make a mistake here. Sorry, Nigel was regional VP for Europe. Oh, well, there you go. Made a bit of a mistake here, and of course. Okay, so that's my first error today. Here we go. The issue of who is this to be added is an issue to be addressed by the at-large capacity working group Specifically, the capacity building will include webinars as resource material for at-large. Has this been added to the capacity building working group? I'm not sure. I can't see Salah on the Adobe. So I guess we'll just have to leave this one open. Oh, I see Carlton having put his hand up. Carlton, go ahead.
Carlton, can you tell me specific...
Hello? Yes, you are. Welcome.
This is Carlton for the record. I'm just wanting to know specifically what area Boo is for that large capacity building. We have an at-large who is working group that is open for people to join, and this is what here we put on seminars, webinars under who is issue. So I'm trying to figure out what else is there.
Thank you, Carlton. Now, I'm only doing this from memory, and this was a month ago. Of course, I'm going by the notes which are on the screen that you also have there. I believe that it is the... there was a session that took place on Whois, and I think that this is probably something that will be some material that will be made use of by the at-large capacity building working group. Does anyone else have another point of view or idea on this?
Olivia, this is Heidi.
Carlton? Oh, Heidi, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think in my memory, this is Heidi for the record, that because it's the capacity, the at-large capacity building working group that's going to be working with Matthew Shears on the development of modules online for the online platform, that they would be working with the Whois working group on the development of content for a module on Whois. That's my memory of that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Heidi. I think we'll just have to leave it aside and find out what this really relates to, if that's okay.
Yes, oh yes, indeed. I mean, what Heidi says to me, Heidi's intervention certainly put some meat to it. I mean, if it's a matter of having a comprehensive book for capacity building, then certainly, but there is a place where people can participate as much as they want, and you know, I would want to make sure that everybody understands that there is no impediment in the way of people joining the working group.
Yes, thank you very much, Carlton. I wouldn't think that there is. We will shed some light over this. Let's continue further down. Now, once the Rules of Procedure Working Group provides its work to the ALAC members will have 2 weeks to read through the work. And that's been done, and then there will be a single-purpose call for the ALAC to discuss the work, as well as discuss how and when the ALAC will vote on the new rules of procedures. I believe that this has all been done. In fact, we're going to speak about the rules of procedures shortly. Right, now we look at the newly assigned action items. Holly Reich was to hold the pen on the at-large revised new GTLD registry agreement, including additional public interest commitment specification workspace. I believe that's been done. And then there is a call for volunteers to the RALOs and the ALAC from myself once a list of working groups that are of interest to at-large has been compiled. Alan is to provide the list of GNSO working groups that would be of interest and can be joined. And Cheryl Langdonor is to provide the list of CCNSO working groups that would be of interest and could be joined. As it happens at the moment, there are no CCNSO working groups that are starting up or that would need at-large members to join. So Gisela is to provide a list of at-large working groups, and if you look at the agenda, there is actually a link to the list of the at-large working groups. So you've got the standing at-large working groups, the ad hoc at-large working groups, and the cross-constituency working groups that are listed there. I guess I'm probably just waiting for for Alan to provide a short list of the of some of the GNSO working groups that require inputs, and then we'll be sending a note out to at large and to the ALAC list. See a couple of hands up, so let's start with Holly Reich.
Thank you, Olivier. Holly Reich for the Transcript Records. I think I'd like to clarify the action item. I don't think my action item relates to the whole of the new GTLD agreement. I think it only relates to that that new section, the PIC section, which is what I've done and which is already completed on the workspace. So that's my understanding, if you can correct or whatever, but I think it was a fairly confined action item. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. I'm not sure I heard you too well here. You sounded
sorry.
A bit muffled.
let me repeat that. The way the action item that you just read out is worded, it looks as if I hold the pen for the whole of the new GTLD agreement, registry agreement. I think what is meant is the pen that I hold is really for that new aspect of the agreement, which is about the public interest commitment specification. And that's been done. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the limitation on the action item. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Holly. It was a quote of the full title of the statement, and in fact, if you click on it, one finds oneself on the page itself with your statement on there. So, or the statement that you penned with the input from everyone on there. So that's fine. Let's have a look. We've got Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I will send a formal list. However, the GNSO work groups that are of interest right now, I think, are certainly the IRTPD, which is just starting and could use some committed volunteers. The ongoing ones, which may or may not be relevant at this time, are the IGO, INGO, IRC, and Red Cross PDP, which, if you believe the staff policy report last Thursday, will be completed within a month. I suspect it's not going to be completed within a month, and if anyone wants to do their homework and get involved, now is still a good time to do it, I would think, unless I prove to be wrong, but I'd be very surprised at that. The sides are getting firmer and firmer, not getting closer together, so it's going to be interesting. And the thick who is PDP is probably coming to a close. Which way it'll go is not clear, but there's only one major issue that has to be resolved, and the same can be said for the locking the domain PDP. So those, I think, are not the latter two, I think, are probably not of interest, but I will be going over the list with a careful review and see if I missed anything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan, and I trust that staff has noted the list that you have provided. Otherwise, we'll just have to listen to the recording. It's fairly to the front of the recording.
There are only two that are currently. It's IRTPD, IRTPD, D as in dog, and I believe the IGO, INGO one is still relevant.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Right, and any other comments or questions on the action items? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's move on down our agenda to the next part, the review of current at-large structure applications. Always an exciting point, seeing more at-large structures join at-large, and I will ask Matt to go through these, please.
Hi, this is Matt for the record. I'm just loading the page right now, sorry. Okay, so for our at-large structures, we have RAE services from AFRALO. AFRALO suggests that the organization should join the DC, as it is a business organization. The next other one we have is the University Community Partnership for Social Action Research from Narelo. Additional questions are being asked of the applicant. Once we have more information, then we can proceed. Number 177, Technology, Education, Development, Research, and Communication, TEDx from LACRELO. LACRELO is currently collecting regional advice.
Okay, thank you very much. Matt, any questions or comments? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. I have a question with regards to race services. Afralo is to suggest the organization should join the BC as it is a business organization. Has it advised the applicant of this, or is it up to the ALAC to advise the applicant?
I believe Afralo has actually advised the applicant of this.
They've advised me. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, thank you very much, Matt. All right, let's move on then to the next part of our agenda, the reports. And I invite you all to open the at-large reports page, which is tagged here as at-large reports from working groups. In fact, we've got reports from working groups, RALOs, and liaisons. We're not going to read through all of them. I'm quite pleased to note that the majority of reports have been filed this month. So well done, everyone, both for RALOs and for the liaisons. And so the only three really that are mandated by the ALAC rules of procedure are the GNSO liaison reports, the CCNSO, and the ESSAC. So let's first have a quick roundup from the GNSO liaison. Alan Greenberg.
I'm one of the reports that isn't there this month. I was occupied with an ATRT meeting when the GNSO meeting went on. I do have to review the report, but I was waiting for the draft minutes, which just came out, and I will be posting something in the very near future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. If you could just notify the ALAC list when you've posted it so that we can have a look. Thank you. Next, our CCNSO liaison, Cheryl Langdonneau.
Well, thank you, Cheryl Langdonneau, for the record. Hopefully my audio is all right for interpreters. Let me know if not. I've recently updated the CCNSO liaison report, so I'd encourage you all to go to the wiki to look at that. And of some note, however, is the, I think, good news that a new membership application from a CCTLD operator, .mk, has currently gone to the CCNSO list for discussion and probable approval. There are certainly no current reason not to continue on, but when they're approved, that'll be updated as well. Sorry, Giegler, I can't do any better than talking to the microphone that I've got stuck under my chin. Thank you.
Okay, is that it, Cheryl?
Considering that my audio is so bad, apparently, yeah, I think.
Thank you very much, sir. No, I can repeat what you said. There's a new membership application from .mk, which is the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia.
Correct.
And I believe that's the big news, and it's always great to see more CCTLDs come and join the CCNSO. And I guess now we can move on to our other, our third liaison, and that's the ESSAC liaison, Julie Hammer. Can we have your report, please? And Julie, you might be muted. Or I might be muted, or I might be cut off.
You're not muted.
I'm neither muted nor cut off. So, Julie, we can't hear you.
You mean now, Olivia?
Oh, not only can I hear you, but you've just drilled a hole in my eardrum. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. yes, quite a few things happening just recently. I've mentioned in my report the release of SAC 057, which is an ESSEC advisory on and internal name certificates. The ESSEC had become aware that there is a potential for malicious activities associated with certificate authorities who had issued certificates for internal name servers that may in fact interfere with the future security of new GTLDs. That's a very, very bland description of the problem, but what has happened since the work on the ESSEC advisory, and the advisory was kept confidential while the risk to security was deemed to be still high. The ESSEC has worked with the certificate authority and browser forum to actually take action to revoke those certificates that may have created a security risk in the future with new GTLDs. I have tried in my report to compress the 18-page ESSEC report into hopefully fairly simple language to explain the issue, but basically I think the risk is being successfully worked on, and therefore this report has been made public because the issue is being dealt with. So that was a really good outcome for all the groups involved in that. The second issue that I would highlight is that the fiscal year 14 SSR framework, which has been put together by the ICANN security team, has been released for comment, and I've drafted a proposed at-large comment on that document, and that's on the workspace if anyone would like to have a look and comment on it. There's still plenty of time to finalise that. And the final thing I'd just point out is that Westlake Governance have released their presentation, which they will be speaking to at Beijing, and that's also available at the website, and I've got a link in my report. So that's all from me. Thanks, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Julie. And, of course, we are going, the ELAC is going to be meeting with the ESSEC on Sunday, the 7th of April. So we will have plenty of time to discuss both the report and other issues at the time.
Yes.
Thank you. So now we are going to move. I see Evan putting his hand up. So, Evan, you have the floor.
Hi there. Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan for the record. This isn't about Maureen's report, but actually a slightly slow update on the GNSO, just as I mentioned, because Alan is on the ATRT team. He has asked me to fill in for him at the meeting of the GNSO Council. The Saturday before the Beijing meeting, so I will be in attendance and providing a report to the ALAC meeting accordingly. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you very much, Evan, and thank you for noting this. It is important that we have a presence there, so that's it's good that you're able to fill Alan's shoes. Right, any questions or comments on any of these reports?
Well, whether I can fill his shoes is a different story. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Evan, any other questions or comments? Right, seeing no hands going up, I invite you to continue reading the other reports that are there, and certainly the RAILA reports are particularly good for this month. Now, we have a number of large issues to discuss during this call. So I invite you all to move to agenda item number 6, the ALAC policy development activities. And I invite you to both open the policy advice development page or just look at the various statements and documents, etc., that are referred from the agenda. First, the ATRT2, a candidate endorsement. Candidates were endorsed, and the two people, as you know, who are on the ATRT2 are both Alan Greenberg and myself. We had the first meeting that took place in Los Angeles the week before last week. Time is just a long tunnel. We engaged with the other participants of the ATRT2. The whole process is going to be very transparent indeed, thus leading by example. So if you are interested in the discussions that are taking place, I believe that they are all both recorded but also available live. And there's also Adobe Connect going on, and there's streaming going on as well, et cetera. So maybe staff will be able to send a reminder at some point as to how to access all of this information. And certainly there are a couple more meetings that are going to take place both on Friday and on Saturday before Beijing starts happening. And there will also be a public session that will take place during the week. I believe it is Wednesday. Alan, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it is on the Wednesday. But anyway, by that time, we will be able to see that. So there's an ATRT2 page somewhere, and I'm sure staff will put it on the Adobe chat. Also to mention, Abridoria is also in there, so in the ATRT2. So we somehow have, I'm not sure, Avery can be considered a half at large, half something else. So we have 2.5 people in the ATRT2. That was a joke, Avery, so please don't kill me for that. Right, Avery is actually probably a full multi-stakeholder system by herself. Next, the Sikhuis PDP working group that was adopted with 14 votes in favor. The at-large IDN variant TLD program, the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels. Second public comment draft workspace. And I'm glad that this one is adopted with 13 votes in favor, because I'm not going to have to read this one again, and it's such a long title. Next is the ICANN volunteer engagement and travel support issues. That was turned into a correspondence that was submitted, and discussion and dialogue is currently in progress. We will actually also meet with the travel support people when we are in Beijing. The closed generic GTLD applications was adopted with 13 votes in favor and one vote against. The Who is Registrant Identification Study draft report was, that statement was adopted with 11 votes in favor and one against. The ELAC joint statement on the consultation of the CCTLD delegation and re-delegation performance standards, and the consultation on the GTLD, same thing. This was adopted with 11 votes in favor. And finally, the revised new GTLD registry agreement, including additional public interest commitment specification, that was adopted with 10 votes in favor. I really have to thank all of the people who have held the pen on this, on all of these statements. It's hard work to come up with a first draft, ask the community, get the community's input, and then bring that in into another draft, sometimes even into a third draft. So it's really good. And by the way, holding the pen is open to everyone. So if you do feel an interest in holding the pen on some of these statements, then you are very welcome to do so. And that's an excellent way to start your career in at large. And I don't think there's a thing like a career, but there you go. Next, the statements or endorsement currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. First, any questions on the first point? I don't see any questions. What I'm getting is an actual... Okay. Statements are
Olivier, what are you asking questions on?
Well, does anybody have any comments or questions on what's been submitted so far?
Oh, okay. So you introduced Section B but are not talking about it yet.
Okay, all right. So
okay.
Let's go on to Section B. FY14 Community Travel Support Guidelines. Tijani is currently drafting a statement. I know that he's in the process of doing so. The comment period closes on the 21st of April, but Tijani will have something with the next few days. And, of course, as per usual, that will be advertised on the ALAC list. I know that travel support is very, very touchy in this community for various reasons. So I'd like to ask that we don't discuss this here, because when Tijani drafts a first statement, perhaps it would be good to have the input on the wiki page. Preliminary issue report on the GTLD registration data services. Alan Greenberg is to confirm if a statement is necessary, and I see that Alan has put his hand up. So could you please let us know?
It's Alan. I don't actually recall this being assigned to me, and I would have suggested that the Who Is Working Group look at that and come up with a first cut on it. I'm actually a bit surprised. I didn't realize this preliminary issue report was coming. My understanding of the process, and clearly I have a wrong understanding, was that the board initiated the expert working group, and the expert working group would then feed into a PDP. But I would have thought the conclusions of the expert working group would be part of the issue report. And not that the issue report would be cast in stone before the expert working group reported, but it seems this is the order it's being done in. So I'm a bit confused as to what is really going to come out of this, because it's almost as if the issue report will be issued prior to the expert working group issuing its conclusions, which seems a bit silly in my mind. So I'm not 100% sure I understand the process, but regardless, I don't have the time to do this in the next few days. So I would suggest people who are more involved in the Who Is issue look at it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Or perhaps we just issue a statement in line with what I just said.
Thank you very much, Alan. And Carlton, I see you've put your hand up, and I believe you probably are the person to speak to, since you are the chair of the Who Is working group, and you're also recently arrived back from London.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. This is Carlton for the record. Alan is right. I can tell you that the expert working group, the intention was that they would wait for the final report from the working we're doing to decide on raising a PDP in the GNSO. That is still the current plan, that we will... The output from the expert working group will be sent via the board to the GNSO, and the expectation is that a PDP will then come out of GNSO to look at the specific issues and the specific requests or advice that is coming from the expert working group. So this registration... this preliminary report is a little bit out of sync. Notwithstanding, I saw the thing, Malin, and I didn't want to... I thought, well, good, yes, because it means that I can remain above the fray and not kind of telegraph what my thinking is on this thing. But I do believe that since it's out there in the public, we should statement that I would prefer to see is along the lines of this was the framework for...
Carlton, you've gotten very fuzzy. Garbled.
...standard to be in which the expert working groups. I'm sorry, I don't know what's happening. I'm saying that the expectation for a statement would be along the lines that you would suggest, because that is the way the framework was explained to us. I therefore would want to ensure that we did the report for it. It doesn't say anything new that we have known, really. But our response ought to be that somewhere the information from the expert working group would be a part of any consideration in a GNSO PDP. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlton. Much appreciated. I see a queue already, so there's first Holly Reich and then Adam Greenberg. Holly, you have the floor.
Yes, I would like to add that the amendment to the RAA and that whole raft of documents that has been included in that particular piece of request for comment really do impact on the who it is. So I agree with Alan. I'm not sure of processes overlapping, but there's a whole who is accuracy specification plus changes to or proposed changes to the RAA that are absolutely relevant to who is. So I'd be interested in the overlap and how we're going to actually formulate potentially two processes on the same issues when, in fact, the closing date for us doing anything is rapidly approaching for the RAA amendments. Now, I understand they were released simply to get comment in before Beijing, so there are still some issues that I can watch its comments on, so that's perhaps the reason that they went out and said and released all documents. But I'd agree with Alan, I don't understand how you can, you know, the precedence taking place on the two overlapping exercises, the issues at least. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Holly. And next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Number one, I think we need to make sure we don't confuse different issues, which, yes, are related to have some relationship but are in a different time frame. The RAA is something which ICANN hopes to get signed or imposed or whatever within months or days. What we're talking about on a PDP and the expert working group is something that will likely take years or at least a year plus. So, and may well change the RAA by definition at that point because it will be a consensus policy which immediately changes any active RAA, but let's not confuse the issue. I think on this one, someone needs to look at the issue report and make sure that it doesn't already address, you know, why it is being done in parallel with the expert working group and how it will fold in the expert working group to its conclusions. And on the assumption that it doesn't already lay that out, I think a very brief statement saying the issue report should not be formalized or finalized until after the expert working group has reported. You know, I think that's what we're saying. I don't think we really want to comment on the substance of it right now, but simply point out that the two activities, that is, this PDP, this issue report leading to a PDP, and the expert working group, be synchronized. And it could be it already says that. I haven't looked at it yet. Thank you. Is anyone still there?
I am. I'm waiting. So
well,
Olivia apparently dropped.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no. I thought that you were muted, and in fact, I was muted. Just right.
Thanks.
Carlton, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Carlton for the record. Yes, I want to endorse a couple of things. The RAA, and that. As Alan pointed out, my understanding is, and this is coming out of the expert group, we had a long chat about it, and I don't want to say too much about what the position was in there. But the understanding is that they will go forward with the RA. They're expecting to close it very soon. So we are on a different track with that. Yes, a senior member of the expert working group was very emphatic, pointed out that the work of the group is going to take years. It's not a couple of months at all. And yes, as I pointed out and Alan endorsed, any response, I have read the preliminary report, and as I said, the response that I would put forward and I'm proposing is that we mention the timing between the two activities and what the aspirational objective was for the registrant working group, experts working group to come together, and GNSO, PDP would be developed from the outcomes of the expert working group. But it seems to me that we shouldn't wait on anything else to make a comment on the RAA, proposed RAA as it exists today. So, Holly, I think in abundance of caution, I suppose, we can look at it and say exactly what our concerns are, because you're quite right. There are a couple of clauses that would have some impact, and what we want to see is that whatever the impact is for the minute, because it's surely going to be changed with the expert working group outcomes, then we should at least raise the flag on those issues that we think are important to be at large. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlton. I see that there is some consensus as to what should be drafted. Could I task you to do a first draft? It sounds to me as though it's something that's very, very small, short statements. Perhaps could you liaise with Alan and with Holly in having something that will capture what the three of you have said, but in particular capture the fact that there is a real need for synchronization between the different activities.
Yes, I'll take it on.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Evan?
Thanks, Olivier. In his absence, since that Garth Bruin was unable to make this call, I just wanted to ask from the people that are working on the RAA whether his well-known issues regarding the ability of ICANN compliance to actually enforce clauses and being able to act upon the RAA when registrars are in breach, have these issues been addressed to your satisfaction? I know this has been, I believe it's 378 of issues that have been troubling to Garth and of others. Since Garth is not on this call to advocate this himself, I just wanted to ask whether the people that are looking at the RAA are satisfied that those compliance issues are addressed. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan.
We're not talking
about the RAA yet, so I'd like to wait until we reach that point, because otherwise it's going to be an absolute mess on this call, mixing all the issues. So first we have the FY14 Security, Stability, and Resiliency Framework. It's okay, Evan. I know that we all get excited by a few things. So let's move on. Let's first have the ICANN FY14 Security, Stability, and Resiliency Framework. The ALAC is commenting on this, and Julie Hammer is holding the pen on this, and I guess we will soon be having a draft statement on this point. Next, the consultation on the root zone KSK rollover.
Excuse me, Olivier. Julie here.
Yes, Julie, please, go ahead. I didn't
Sorry,
hear
it, so I apologize. It just sounded like you were saying we would soon have a draft statement. The draft statement is actually posted, And anyone who would like to comment may do so. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you very much, Julia. I'm sorry I didn't see that. I will check it, and I'm afraid I must have lost track on this one. I'm not sure whether staff has a call for comments being sent out.
Hi, Olivia. This is Matt. No, they haven't.
Okay, if I could please then ask that, thank you, Matt, if I could please ask then that a call for comments be sent out, comments from the ALAC. I'll follow up with you right afterwards, after this call. And next, the consultation on route zone KSK rollover. The technical issues working group was asked if a statement was necessary. There has been no response from anyone on that list. I would suggest that we just... that the ALAC does not draft a comment on this or a statement on this. Anyone with a different point of view? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's write it as such. Now, the Public Interest Commitment Dispute Resolution Procedure, the PIC DRP. The comment period closes on the 19th of April. The reply period closes about a month later. It doesn't actually say yet whether there should be, well, no one's actually holding the pen on this yet. I would ask Alan, perhaps, or I see Holly has put her hand up. So, Holly Reich.
Just a question. I held the pen on the PIC comments anyway, and during the insight, pointed out some things we should say. One of the things I did say was at that stage, the dispute resolution procedure had not been finalized, although I had concerns about it anyway. I think probably given that we have, if we've already said we have some concerns with the procedure, with the overall PIC issues, then maybe we should also pick up and have a look at the dispute resolution procedure to see if it actually addresses any of the issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly, and that's a very good point indeed. May I kindly ask you if you could have a look at the documents, and in the next couple of days let us know if a statement is necessary, or perhaps even drop a few lines on the wiki to get us started?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Now, there's a question, is the technical working group still active? Well, I'm not quite sure if it's active, but it still exists. That's the question, Dev. But there are several people who are on that mailing list, although there is not very much, very much activity going on. Okay, next, the proposed 2013 RAA posted for comment. Now, that's the one which several people have been waiting for. And Evan, you have already launched a first salvo regarding this. Perhaps I should let Alan Greenberg have the floor.
Thank you very much. This one was assigned to me, but my name is not on it. Number one, I believe the statement will not be ready for the 28th, so I think staff needs to submit a placeholder statement. There are other comments, so we're not elongating the overall process. So that's number one, and I would request that, Olivier, you ask that be put on as an action item for staff. That's number one. Number two, I'll address Evan's specific issue in a moment, at least my belief on it. There is not a single belief, single answer to it. Staff, in my mind, or ICANN, in my mind, is showing some real backbone in saying they want to get this RAA tied up quickly, that this process has been going on long enough. If you remember, this current round of discussions, negotiations, whatever, were initiated by the board in some meeting very, very long ago, and the meeting, I think, was held in November, and said by the next June, I think it was Costa Rica, or March, I think March or something like that in Costa Rica, we should have an RAA signed. It has gone on much longer than that. That was an unrealistic recommendation, suggestion by the board, but nevertheless, it has gone on and on and on. We're talking about changes that are largely driven by the dissatisfaction with the 2009 RAA, and it was triggered by that one being approved by the GNSO. So staff is showing some real backbone in saying they want to go ahead with this, even if the registrars don't agree with everything. And in my mind, the RAA is written to allow them to do that. We should not make this comment the laundry list of everything we ever wanted to see in the RAA. Staff has completely outraged the registrars by coming back in the last round of discussions and introducing 10 new issues that hadn't been on the table before. I don't think we're going to introduce a lot of other things that aren't on the table. And to quote Cheryl, we have to make sure that we're not letting perfection get in the way of getting something done. So I would strongly suggest that this statement, and certainly anything I'm going to craft, the rest of the ALEC doesn't have to agree with it, be a comment on this RAA and what we believe absolutely needs to be fixed or any other comments that we have, but try to keep the scope narrow so that it doesn't elongate the process that has already been far too long. So that's my comment. In regard to the specific question that Evan raised, in my mind, the current version of the RAA does address the enforceability of that particular clause. Garth does not agree with me, and we are in the middle of an email exchange to that end. You know, but in my mind, that they have now said that the registrars must do something within a certain number of days, and if they don't, they're clearly in violation of the RAA. And the something they do if the WHOIS information is not fixed is to essentially suspend or cancel the domain name or make it unusable. Yes, we have not defined what inaccurate means, but honestly, I don't think we're going to do that this month. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And may I repeat the action item for a staff to send a placeholder to the comment, the people in charge of comments, so as to make sure that we advise we will be submitting a comment, but it will arrive late. Next is Holly Reich.
Evan, to answer your question, probably what Garth and I are thinking about a lot of those documents is already on the wiki, so I think that answers that. Alan, I would say there are five documents, and we can't ignore them because the term, for instance, who is accuracy, is clearly defined in the specification, and not all of it is agreed, so it's a terrific opportunity to have a look at what's there and say, for a large part, we actually think that's a good thing, and to point out our concerns. But I do think, given that we've had these documents all released, and they all, a lot of them really tie in with each other, it would be silly, while there's still negotiations on and we have the opportunity to influence the outcome, not to at least have a look. Now, there are just five documents and it's a lot of work for anybody. So my suggestion is everybody have a look at one or two of those documents quickly and reply, and then we can have a package response, because what was released was a package and it actually works as a package. Some of the questions arising from the RAA itself are answered in the specifications. So we actually need to acknowledge that and say a lot of that is an improvement, but some of it isn't, and make those comments soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly. Next is Carlton Samuels.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Carl. Are you hearing me?
Yes, very well. Go ahead.
Okay. The issue of the RAA, the enforceability, the old 370, Alan said it, the existing RAA, I think he meant the one, the 213 one that is trying to come into being. I think if you look at the accuracy specification, there's a clause 2.5 that I think if you look at the accuracy specifications and what is actually said in there, it actually enhances enforceability. I really do. And maybe what we want to do is to look very closely at the accuracy specifications and see whether or not the language and the plain impact of the overarching clause of 2.5 would not satisfy the 378 disability that we actually thought existed in the 2009 RAA. I think there is something there that would address that point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlson. And I recognize, actually, for a while we've been speaking about the RAA and noting that there are some new people on the call. It might be a little difficult. The RAA is the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, which is the contract that ICANN signs with the registrars that it works with. And in that agreement, there are several contractual issues that are clearly lined up. There was a big question in the current RAA whether these contractual issues could be actually regulated regulated by ICANN or could be enforced by ICANN. We're seeing a real shift now in the shift of power in the direction of ICANN with these new negotiations that are taking place. I hope that's it.
Olivier, can I just add one small thing
to
the issue? The other thing that we need to look at carefully is the registry agreement, because remember now that we are in the era of virtual integration, where you have the connection between the registrar and registry thing. It is important for us to see if the registry agreements are harmonized, at least at the level of the RAA, the WHO specific, the accuracy specifications, as well as the RDDS, the registration data service specifications. Those two pieces are absolutely critical. Those two specifications are absolutely critical for alignment with the registry agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Next is Evan Leibovich.
Hi, thanks, Olivia. This is Evan for the record. Before I ask what I was going to, I just wanted to ask a follow-up question of Carlton on the vertical integration issue, and that is, would a registry that is not performing their own registrar activities not be subject to the RAA? Would it require separate work on the registry agreement if they are performing registrar functions? And I have my main point after that.
Carlton?
Yes, there would be. There would be bound, Evan, but because you could have them integrated or commingled to the extent in the operations itself, I think it is important for us to ensure that the registry agreement harmonizes with the registrar agreement, at least at the level of accuracy and the RDDS, the distribution data model that is being proposed in the RAA specifications. That's precisely why I think it's important to ensure that there's harmonization.
Back to you, Evan.
Thanks. I wanted to raise an issue that I've been noticing in the NCSG mailing list that has become a bone of contention, and also something that has been mentioned in a number of public blog postings, is that this is the end of the multi-stakeholder model, specifically referring to something called the unilateral right to amend. And I wanted to ask for the people that are aware of the issue and have been following it, whether or not this merits specific mention of ours in our commentary, and whether or not this is as contentious here as it seems to be among NSO. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. We'll put this question on a placeholder, and if anybody has an answer, could they please line up? Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. A couple of points. With relation to something Holly said of it's not just the RA, it's five documents, I think we have to get our nomenclature clear. Just as in our rules of procedure, which we'll be talking about shortly, we have decided to put some of the rules, the more detailed stuff, in adjunct documents. The ICANN and registrars have decided to do something very similar, and they've added a number of specifications which are pointed to by the RAA, and from my perspective, the RAA is the whole package. So the RAA is more than the single document called the RAA right now. It's the RAA plus the documents that it relies on. So I think we need to make sure there's no confusion. Yes, they're in different PDFs and pointed to at different places on the web, but they're a package, and I think we have to keep that in focus when we're talking about the RAA. I have no problem at this point, and I would support a statement saying the ALAC is disappointed that the detailed specification of accuracy is not better or is not stronger or is not, you know, done in sufficient detail, that it's still a judgment call on to some extent on a registrar what is accurate and what is not. It is less, however, much less of a judgment call what is not accurate. You know, so an email address that doesn't have an at sign in it is finally specified as not being accurate. We're farther along than we were. A postal code has to actually exist, and there's a number of other issues like that. So we can certainly regret that it's not more specific, but I don't think we're going to see significant change at this point, especially since the registrars are still, at this point, refusing to honor even some of the verification that ICANN is asking for. So I think we need to make sure that our comments are in line with the time frame that ICANN has outlined, which is both aggressive and important, and that's my only comment on that. On terms of the unilateral right to amend, I'll tell you my personal position and what I would plan to put into a statement. And I find at a philosophical level a unilateral right to amend is somewhat objectionable. On the other hand, ICANN needs a mechanism to fix urgent problems. Right now, the ICANN board has the right to enact changes to contracts that affect stability and security of the DNS. And it can do that on short notice and then later have it caught up with a PDP or something like that. I believe there are all sorts of issues related to the RAA which do not affect stability and security of the DNS, but are nevertheless important in its stewardship of the domain name, the overall domain name system. And I believe it needs the right to make changes like that in a shorter time frame than the close to 7-plus years that it would take under the current rules. That is a few years to change the RAA and then up to 5 years for the bad actors to sign on to it. So although I object conceptually to the unilateral right to amend, there needs to be some provision that allows ICANN to fix problems on a much shorter time frame. And even the unilateral right to amend has things in it like, we'll talk about it for 2 years and then do it, so it's not immediate. And if you remember correctly on the discussion, on the briefing we had on the RAA, when I made this kind of comment, James Bladel from GoDaddy came back and basically said he agreed that, you know, and maybe we can find other mechanisms that are not quite as draconian, which solve the same end. And I think our statement should say, you know, we have some conceptual problem with the unilateral right to amend, but the capability needs to be there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And clearly, this is a very, it's Olivier for the transcript, clearly this is a very, very difficult, very complex situation, and perhaps even a milestone that's taking place, the renegotiations of the RAA. I just wanted to inform everyone there has been an RAA briefing session that took place about a week ago. Staff have put the link to that briefing session on the Adobe chat. If you've missed it, you'll have the full recording and all of the listing of what happened on that call. Very, very interesting. I'm going to take one more person in the queue. That's Carlton Samuels, and then we really need to get a move on. Otherwise, we'll spend the whole call on the RAA issues. So, Carlton, you have the floor.
I'll just type what I have to say, Olivier. Let's move on.
Okay. Thank you, Carlton. Just a couple more things, really. The first is that we do have a mailing list called the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities mailing list. I'm a bit concerned because that mailing list is absolutely mute at the moment, and although there seems to be clearly a lot of discussion needed on this RAA, and certainly a good statement from at large is absolutely needed on this, seeing the number of different facets to this. You can look, there are four base documents, there are six addendums, and there are seven additional documents or eight additional documents around that. It would be a huge amount of work for one, two, or three people to deal with it. Could I please ask that the discussion continues on the registrant rights and on the mailing list, perhaps even on the ALAC list, if ALAC members want to discuss this with each other. If you're not on the registrant rights list, then please, you can subscribe to it. Just send an email over to staff and they'll subscribe you. It's a simple thing. There's one document which I would like to point to specifically because I was very surprised to see it there and very surprised that we were not involved with it. And that's the proposed registrant rights and responsibilities specifications. I thought that was very bizarre, and it's all... it's there, but it hasn't had any of our input. So I think that we will need to comment on that. It will be important to comment specifically on this. I'm not sure whether there are enough rights and responsibilities where the document is complete enough, but I thought that we had a working group that was already working on this, and specifically for this, and really registrant rights should be extended to user rights, as we all know. So that's a follow-up on this.
Olivier,
you have the closing word on this.
Yes, thank you. Just to point out that I think we're mixing things. The registrant rights, which is part of the current proposed RAA and is very different from what we were talking about as a much larger registrant's rights, is very much a subset of the RAA, and the registrant's rights mailing list is not the place for the generic RAA discussion in my mind. And I think at this point it's close enough to the to getting a statement drawn together that the ALAC list is a reasonable place to be doing that.
We can copy, but the registrant's rights and disabilities, it's rights and responsibilities group. I think they should lead on this. And you can copy in the ALAC.
On the overall RAA?
Yes.
On the overall RAA, yes.
Yes.
Historically, that's where all of those discussions have taken place.
No, excuse me, but there are many provisions in the RAA which have nothing to do with registrant rights and responsibilities.
That's absolutely true. For example, the WIS, and there's some cross things in that. But I think where the main topic is the RAA, I don't have a problem with the RAA group leading on this. They can always copy in the WIS and the other groups.
Besides, I thought we were using the wiki as the main place.
Again, there you go.
Okay, Carlton and Adam, I think we now need to move on. I hear a lot of noises. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. This has been an interesting discussion. I hope we've got a way forward now. Let's move on then with the next thing, the statement on WCIT outcomes. Well, this one will be fast. That's forthcoming, coming soon. Currently open public comments. The proposed modification of the GNSO PDP manual to address the suspension of a PDP. It was decided that there was going to be no statement. And the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceeding initial report. I'm not sure about that. Alan Greenberg?
At the last XCOM meeting, I was asked, and I believe I said close to verbatim, I am the vice chair of that working group, and I believe the ALAC does not need to comment.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. So that will be noted. Now, let's move on. We've spent 1 hour and 15 minutes already on the call, and we have many more items to deal with. Item number 7 on our agenda is the at-large new GTLD working group recommendations on post-objection filing activities. And this is a letter which the new GTLD working group has sent to the ALAC to propose to make a proposal on the follow-up of the objections process. So for this, I think we have Avery Doria. Is she back on the call? No, that Avery was on the call.
I'm here.
I've just noticed Avery has unmuted her mic. Welcome, Avery, or welcome again. Or I know you were always there listening to us, but now you have the floor.
Yeah, I was giving this call my right ear while I was giving Thick Who Is my left ear. Okay, so basically after the ALAC approved the objections that it did approve, we had a quick process where we looked at what would be the follow-on activities and what would need to be done where. And I sent a brief email to Olivier and you all about the process that we went through. I don't know if I need to go through that now. Please let me know if I do. But essentially, we took a week and developed a set of recommendations. And yes, I need to talk slower. So those recommendations were sent to you. The recommendations really come in two parts. The first is, let me get it in front of me, host. So it's a document called, and let me put it in your thing there.
Yep.
And it was sent also as a PDF. So there's basically two parts to this recommendation. The first part is that you all create an ALAC objections team. This team is your champions, your paladins, those who will, or needs to be done in terms of negotiations, in terms of mediation, in terms of discussions with the objectees, and those with the applicants that you all are objecting to. We are recommending this team would engage in the direct ALAC informed of the status, would bring and draft outcome from any discussions or procedures to ALAC for approval, and would bring recommendations from ALAC to the discussion. This group would be your representatives. You would talk to them. You would tell them what to do. They would tell you what was happening. We are recommending that it be composed of 6 members or ALAC members. The idea there was that there should be at least 2 who could focus on each one of the 3 objections, but we did not want to prescribe that there were 2 per. It's one group, but allows for 2 per. Up to you. Up to them to figure out how they do the work. We did not figure that the at-large new GTLD working group should determine how they do the work. So it would be current members of ALAC who support the objection as filed, current at-large members of the review team who support the objection as filed. We make a claim about conflict of interest, that no member should have conflict of interest with regard to the applications, must release a statement to that effect, and should a conflict of interest develop, they have to notify you all, and you all have to deal with it. That was it, the thing for the ALAC's need and the ALAC objection team. But the review group have roles and responsibilities in this process. That the review team would provide necessary backup information to the objections team, and that can include everything from contact to the people who originally filed the objection, to the research they did, whatever is needed. The sub-team would do any additional research as required. If the application comes at you with a response that says, but you did not take this into account, the review team can then be charged to go get some additional information, find out, understand, explain, analyze. And then the review team should make sure that the dispute resolution processes are understood and acted upon the ALAC objections team. There's a presumption here that the review team, who has been working with the Gothic process that the new GTLD applications have become, would be best equipped to be able to explain the nuances and rules and procedures and processes and changes of processes that may occur. So they would also have that responsibility. So that's our recommendation to you. And it got consensus of the working group. As I say, it was a rapid process, but I've heard no objections at all to the process either before I announced it or since. That's it. Oh, by the way, this was Avery, and sorry I didn't say that at the beginning.
Thank you very much, Avery. And I now open the floor for comments or questions. Bearing in mind that this document has been sent a few days ago, and of course, you've also got it now on the Adobe screen at the moment. Any comments or questions on the document? I see no hands going up, which is either a good thing because everybody agrees or a bad thing because nobody's read it. What I do ask is that I will then ask for a consensus call on this document rather than having a formal vote. We like to work by consensus. I must say, Avery, I'm particularly pleased with the work of your working group and the way that they have looked at the question and put something, a document together in a very short amount of time, sending over to us. So I think that it's time for a consensus call then. We do have quorum on the call. So if anybody is against this document to be adopted and for the process describing the document to move forward, could you please raise your voice now? I don't see anyone being against this, so this document is carried forward and is adopted by the ALAC. We can move forward and create the ALAC objections team. I think that's an action item. And really, short of reading what the whole document says, I think that the map is really drawn to the ALAC. I have to thank Avery and her working group for presenting this document over to us. And yes, the document is adopted.
Hey, this is Avery. Thank you. And I'll pass your thanks on to the group.
Thank you, Avery. And now we have the next item on our agenda, and that's the items for discussion. Agenda item number 8, revised ALAC rules of procedures, the final comments prior to the vote. And for this, I hand the floor over to Alan Greenberg and Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you. Cheryl, do you have any introductory comments before I go to the meat of the discussion?
Cheryl, for the record, just while the document gets loaded up onto the screen, because I think you'll be dealing with all of that. I just wanted to note for the record the delight I had in putting into this month's report from the work group that after what was pretty heroic effort by an awful lot of people for an unbelievable amount of hours, and in particular those involved in the final review, and Alan is the shining star in all of that. I believe we have a very solid document with the tiniest little cosmetics to be done in today's call, and I would very much like to strongly suggest to the ALAC that they now move through the next step after Alan takes you through the hearing feeding of the document post-haste, and perhaps take a moment in Beijing to thank those involved in what I think is a rather unique situation, because you had not just the ALAC creating the rules review for itself, you had the ALAC creating the rules review for itself with the engagement of all its regions, which included regional leadership and rank and file member of ALSs. And I really think you all need to take a moment and just ponder on how damned impressive that is. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. There was a briefing a week ago on the then-current version of the draft. A number of issues were raised, largely by Tijani, which were then incorporated into what is the current draft, which is numbered version 71. That change also included a few other errors that I caught, but nothing particularly onerous. And since then, we have had a small number of suggestions for changes. There are four, in fact. In my mind, all of them are necessary, and each for different reasons, and I'd like to quickly review them here. And as they're moving around on the screen, and make sure that there are no objections to it. If that is the case, I will incorporate them into the document. And as you may have seen, I sent out an email yesterday putting a motion to the ALAC. It has been seconded by Renalia that as soon as this document is complete, we initiate an online vote to approve the rules. The rules will not come into effect immediately because there are three adjunct documents which need to be approved by the ALAC before the rules can actually function, the new rules of procedure can function. Those documents I'll talk about very briefly after I review these the four changes. The first change is suggested or caught by Olivier. The ALT, the ALAC leadership team, like the current XCOM, has no specific responsibilities other than to advise and work with the chair. However, we have had a recent occurrence, and occasionally in the past, where the ALAC has chosen to delegate something to the XCOM. Most recently, it was the selection or deciding how to forward names for the meeting strategy working group that Sebastian is leading. And so the suggestion is to add a provision saying, although the ALT has no specific ongoing responsibilities other than emergency ones, and there's a provision for if those are done, it has to go to the ALAC after the fact, that the ALAC be allowed to delegate things, should it choose, to the ALT to do. So it doesn't give any rights to the ALT, but it does allow the ALAC, should the occasion occur, to delegate any particular issues. So I don't think this harms anything, and it, in fact, goes back to how we have used the current XCOM over the years. The second one is an issue that Evan caught. We had very, very substantive discussions in the working groups on a provision which ensures that all regions are represented when we take a decision. And at the same time doesn't allow a region to boycott a decision by refusing to participate. In putting in rules for that, we left a hole out, unfortunately, and Evan fortunately caught it. Currently, when we take a vote, the vote is only valid if at least, for assuming the whole ALAC is present, assuming we have all 15 seats filled, a vote is only valid if at least 8 people vote. They can abstain, but they still have to actually cast a ballot, and we lost that by mistake. And the change that is up for 11.4.2 adds a sentence, or adds a sentence to be considered a valid decision, more than 50% of the sitting ALEC members must record a vote, including abstain, if it's one of the options. So that just puts back our current rule, which unfortunately got lost. The third one is in section 12.2.1, replace the word delegate with ALEC member. If you remember, the original current rules refer to ALEC members as delegates, and it's a UN General Assembly term, and it tended to be very confusing. We thought we removed them all. We left one in. So this just corrects that omission. And lastly, we had an adjunct document called at-large formulation framework. I took that title off of a web page I found, which I thought mapped to what we needed. The reason we have this at all is the ICANN bylaws say the rules for accrediting or de-accrediting an ALS are in our rules of procedure. They never were. They were always in a document we had at the side. So this reference formally includes them. We're not proposing to change those rules, just have them pointed to. However, in trying to pull that document together, I realized that the web page called at-large formulation framework or whatever it was, in fact covered not only ALSs but also covered the creation of RALOs, which is not something that needs to be in our rules of procedure. So I'm suggesting we just change the name, so we will be referring to a document which just focuses on ALSs and not on RALO memorandums of understanding and things, which are not by the bylaws required to be in our rules of procedure. So it's just a nomenclature change to make sure that we're talking about what we thought we were talking about and not extraneous things. Are there any comments on these four items, or is there anything else that people feel must go in? And now at this point we're looking at not things that people would like. Hopefully these rules are clean enough that we can expect on a regular basis small adjustments when we find either an error or when we find we want to change something, and we're not going to be afraid to change them like we were in the past. So at this point we're looking for things that are broken, that would cause us to have to change how we operate if we don't catch them in the rules at this point. Seeing no hands, assuming I have not dropped off the call and I'm still talking to sentient beings.
You're still there.
Okay.
We here.
Then if Olivier would ask whether there is anyone who disagrees with these changes, I will, after the meeting, put out a new version, and Olivier, at some time soon thereafter, will presumably initiate a vote based on the motion that I did put on the mailing list.
Thank you very much, Alan. Yes, so the first step is to look at those possible rules of procedure changes, and if everyone's okay with those, and I gather they're very small things, then we can proceed forward. I see Cheryl Langdonor has put her hand up. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, and I will do my best to yell into the handset. I just wanted to make sure we had for the transcript record and the audio record the response to the question about having the documents in other languages. It is my view, seeing as when we did them the first time round all those many years ago, it was one of the very earliest of the ALAC documents that in what was then version one of our old rules now, or seem to be old rules now, we had them in both all three languages, English, French and Spanish. It would be a good precedent for accessibility once adopted for the current ICANN
language services rules to be applied to these extremely important foundation documents, and I would recommend that ALAC consider having them put as available on their webs and wikis in the five languages and Portuguese. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And if you have not heard, due to Cheryl's voice being transformed by the hotel phone, she suggested five UN languages plus Portuguese. Now, if the question relates to whether they will be translated before the vote starts taking place, well, the ALAC works in English, so that would be not something that would work at this point in time. But as soon as the rules are finalized, etc., and then voted, they will then be translated. Let's put this as an action item. Could I ask Heidi if she can check with language support? I gather the five UN languages will be fine, because ICANN now makes it a point to go into the five UN languages, but would Portuguese also be possible? Ah, I see Heidi said she will ask. Okay, fantastic. Cheryl, do you still have your hand up?
No, I'm fine, thank
you. No, I'm fine, thank you, she says, from very, very, very far away. Okay, so the next steps for this, then, is to take this over to the vote. This will be an online vote, so that will be a big pulse vote that will be sent just after the final version is released, which it appears will probably be version number 72 or so. So that's quite a few versions, and I have to thank again the whole team for having worked on this. There's a huge number of people that have worked on that. It's been really, really a great, great effort. Alan, you put your hand up.
Yeah, just two short comments. The version numbers will disappear on this version. Just as a point of explanation, when we talk about 72 versions, my working methods are, because I don't trust computers at all, and I also don't trust me and my fingers, is as I'm working on a document, when I get to a point where something is done and looks good, I save it and go on to a next version, so I can always go back if something gets destroyed. You know, and every once in a while you make an innocuous change in Word and the whole document changes form. So my working practice is such that I don't replace the same version as I'm proceeding, which explains why we have a large number of versions. There haven't been quite that many that have been reviewed by people. As you'll notice, the last one we talked about a week ago was 64, and although I have interim, I do have all the numbers between 64 and 71. 71 is the one that's around today. There will probably be a 72 and 73 before I finish, but I will name it something related, probably to the today's date or tomorrow's date or something, just so it's clear that this is not an ongoing work in progress, but the version to be voted on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. It is that point of the call when I should ask you to shut up, because you're being given credit, and 72 versions looks a lot better than 4.
Okay.
I'm only kidding. Okay, well, thanks very much to all of them. So that's the process. And, of course, for those who are concerned, I know that there have been some questions about people wishing to maybe implement some changes in the future. I'm absolutely convinced that these rules might still have some errors and some things which will need to evolve over time. The good thing about them is that there are now some processes in place to be able, and procedures in place, to be able to update those regularly. And I just cannot see those lasting for a whole 5 years without some parts of it being improved when we find out, and as we always do, when we find out that some parts of it might not work or might contradict with each other, even though we have gone through these, I would say, a few hundred times now. So it will be easier to update than the previous set of rules, and it will also be easier to review. Right, let's get moving to the next part of our agenda, and this is the update from the FBSC. That's the Finance and Budget Subcommittee. The subcommittee has met recently to collect all of the requests from the RALOs, and those requests were discussed during the call, and some of them slightly amended, formatted in a general format that would fit well, and then sent. The difference between this year and last year is that we had to submit those requests somehow earlier due to two deadlines being provided to us by ICANN Finance. For an early vote and decision to be taken in April, the requests needed to be submitted by the 22nd of March. For a later decision by June, these were to be submitted by the 29th of April. Now, in order to try and get the work optimized, the working group, the subcommittee, asked for all of the requests to be submitted using what's called the fast track, the one by April, which theoretically should only be done for requests which where the events and the finance would be required before October 2013. There is a discussion currently going on whether there might be an additional round, but that's the position that we're on at the moment, that the FBSC is on at the moment. I understand that some railroads have had some problems being able to act quickly so as to file all of their requests in time. So the discussion is currently going on the FBSC whether to have another round. And you should be hearing some more about this, hopefully within the next few days. Any questions or comments? Evan.
Thanks, Olivier. I'd just like to be on the record during the call as personally asking the members of the committee that are on this call to please reconsider some of the additional requests. I know in the case of Neuralo that I think we had on the order of slightly more than one weekend to put things together. We didn't even have the opportunity to discuss it at a regular monthly RALO call. And so as a result, and because I was personally away for that weekend, a particular thing that, for instance, Wolf and I have been resubmitting for the last couple of years missed the cut. So that doesn't mean that it's less important or less relevant this year. It simply was a matter of not making the deadline. The particular requests that I'm talking about are for events that take place in January and March of next year, so I'd simply like to make a personal appeal to the members of the committee that are on this call to please reconsider some of the requests that simply did not make it in time for the early deadline. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. And I'm sure that will be heard by the members of the FBSC who are on the call. Now, the second part to this quick update is the review of the Atlas II proposal and budget. That's the at-large summit proposal and budget. And there is going to be a meeting of the FBSC to review the, a meeting of the ATLAS working group, so the At-Large Summit working group, to start getting the ball rolling. The proposal and budget have been finalized by staff. I still think we have enough time to go through it now because it is quite a large proposal, but it is going to be made available on our at-large summit wiki pages. And I think that the proposal has already been shared, actually, already during one of the past calls. The working group will be working to make this a reality, hopefully. The first thing that we're getting back from finance this should be approved, but there's a difference between should and has. So hopefully we will find out in the next few months, and I believe that the requests are going to be discussed during the Beijing meeting, and shortly afterwards we should be getting an answer on this. So that's the current state. I also maybe take this opportunity right now to invite additional members that are currently on the call to join the ATLAS II at-large summit working group. There are a lot of things that will be happening, and I think that the division of the tasks is going to be quite important for all of the different, imagine, it's five GAs and five regions, capacity building and all the working groups, et cetera, that will all meet together. It's a lot of people and a lot of things. So we will see, but you're very much encouraged to join. I see Heidi has said in the chat that we'll be presenting the ATLAS II proposal to the public, the PPC, on the 7th of April in Beijing, and the board will consider it in their June 2013 meeting. First, I can open the floor to any questions, but I think I've covered everything. There are no questions, or I've put everyone to sleep. So let's move on to the next agenda item. That's the update from the selected at-large working groups. There are three updates this month. The first one is a quick update from the at-large capacity building working group. Is Sala now on the call, or because I didn't see her earlier? I'm not seeing her, and no one's answering me either, which is a bit of a shame. Heidi, Gisela, have you recorded Sala on the call? No, Sala is not on the call. Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
No, I was just drawing your attention to the fact that she is confirmed as not being on the call, that's all.
Ah, okay, thank you, Cheryl. Okay, well, I think then we'll just...
Olivier?
Yes, Heidi, please,
I can just
ahead.
Give a 30-second update if you'd like.
Ah, perfect, go ahead.
Yes. So this is Heidi. Just very quickly, the capacity building working group will be meeting this week to discuss their current activities and prepare for their meeting in Beijing. That meeting will be held on the meeting in Beijing will be held on Monday, the 8th of April. And among other activities to be discussed at that meeting will be a discussion with Matthew Shears, who is going to be leading the ICANN online platform development. And I think that's going to be it for right now. Thank you, Olivia.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. Very helpful. That was a quick update. So next update, we have Sandra Hofer-Richter with the ICANN Academy Working Group. I know there's been a lot going on in that as well. Sandra, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Sandra speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Go ahead, very clearly.
Okay, great. Thank you. It was a bit quiet this month, especially January and February in this working group because we were not sure how to proceed further and where this survey we sent out to other constituencies where the results will feed to which process. Now that we have a little bit more clarity and also one point is the online education platform, which will be developed and was just mentioned in the Capacity Building Working Group by Matthew Shears. Now that we have a little bit more clarity on this, we agreed on a course of action for Beijing and further. In Beijing, we will also meet on the 8th of April in the afternoon. Hopefully, Matthew Shears will be also available for this because the online education platform will be seen as one module into the overall ICANN Academy, and we will try to find out how this is going to develop and how the working group can contribute to this online education platform. Furthermore, we will review the ICANN Academy survey, which was, where the results came in until mid-January. We are currently discussing the outcome of the survey on the mailing list, but there was the clear demand that a phone call or conference call before Beijing take part to discuss the results of the survey a little bit more in detail and give a summary update on the ICANN meeting, on the working group meeting in Beijing. And the next step to be undertaken between Beijing, Durban and Buenos Aires is to look into the options for a leadership training program as it was originally planned for Toronto, and we are now looking into options to organize a pilot program, maybe for Buenos Aires, which is the next AGM. But this will be, this has to be discussed, and it will be in close cooperation with ICANN staff and also in cooperation or in line with all the activities which are now underway by ICANN leadership. I'm referring to the outreach working group where I'm part of to harmonize all the efforts and not to reinvent the bicycle twice on many different places. That's from my side. If there are any questions, I will be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra, and I can 100% echo all of what you've said and echo your words. I have had the chance to meet with Matthew Shears in when in Toronto, not in Toronto, in Los Angeles with Alan, and had a chat with him, and seems to know very much what he's doing. It's really great. So it will be a good thing to get the ball rolling again. It's a bit of a pity that the ball somehow got stuck in the past year due to various factors, none of which were your fault, in fact. It was just the circumstances that made it as it is. And I look forward to see your group move forward again, especially since it is a cross-community working group now. It cross-community as in by the at-large definition of the word, which doesn't need any specific definition as such. Any questions or comments on this? I see no questions or comments. So the next one is the at-large new ELAC New Metrics GTLD Task Force. And I see here Evan Leibovich and Alan Greenberg to provide us with an update.
Alan, do you want to say anything?
I haven't actually been doing anything, so you're the only one who can say what, if anything, has been happening. I've just been too tied up in other issues, I'm afraid.
Okay, this is Evan for the record. I have pasted the URL to the metrics on the GTLD metrics. Very short synopsis. We had participation in a GNSO working group to create metrics to determine the response and the success of the GTLD expansion program. There was some concern that they did not go far enough in giving end-user-centric metrics, so ALEC voted on a statement that committed us to creating a new set of end-user-centric metrics in time for Beijing. I have pasted the URL for the work in progress on that. I really, really would like to invite people to have a look at it and to participate. So far, comments have been received from Thomas Lowenhut and from Carlton, both of which will be incorporated into the document. I really encourage everybody to have a look. If you want to have you want to have a say in the way that we are measuring the effectiveness of the GTLD program, especially how it's going to be benefiting internet end users, I really encourage you to participate. Like I say, the intention of this is to have a final document ready for the Beijing ALAC meeting and to be voted on for presentation to the board GTLD working group. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And I realize how much work this all is, having been involved with some designing of metrics myself and the previous version as well. I can only echo what you've said with regards to needing people to comment on the metrics that are listed there. I think this is a case where, because we have very little time until we move forward, there's only a week and a half until our meeting in Beijing. I would really urge all of those on the call here, ALAC members and even members of at large that are listening in on the call, to kick this issue to their RALO lists and discuss this on their RALO lists to provide suggestions for additional metrics or feedback on the ones that you have listed there. These things are the new GTLDs will affect end users. Probably if there is one thing that is going to affect end users, there has to be new GTLDs. And if you are specifically looking at new GTLD metrics that affect users and how they affect users, then I think that you need all the help that could be provided to you at this time. And I hope that not everyone is saying yes, yes, yes. No, please do. It's important. And I see, and that was not aimed at you, Alberto Soto. I see you will, and I'm glad that you will. That's really good. Looking forward to that. So next on our agenda is the review of the at-large meeting schedule for the 46th ICANN meeting. Oh, that's just around the corner. Heidi, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Heidi. So everything is coming to a conclusion, at least in terms of planning. Please note that there have been some last-minute changes. I think someone's hammering.
Still, I thought it was you that was hammering something.
So there have been some last-minute changes in a couple of the at-large meetings, which will not be reflected in the ICANN public schedule. So please do look at the at-large meeting schedule, the wiki. I've just posted that into the Skype chat, into the AC room. Those reflect the current plan. Okay. So we are still sending out invitations to staff and other speakers this week. I think the only outstanding issues are really some of the questions that at large and ALAC wish to ask. So particularly for the board meeting on Tuesday, we still don't have any questions that is posted there. For the meeting with the NCSG, there's only one current agenda item, that is with on IGOs. So if that needs to be expanded, that needs still to be done. And I think that's it, Olivier. Where staff
Thank
are
you very
preparing.
Much,
yeah. Okay.
Yes, continue if you have a few more words.
Just that staff are prepared. We'll be sending out the Dropbox by the time you all arrive in Beijing. And again, Gina will not be in Beijing. She will be working with you remotely on some of the logistics, but Susie Johnson will be working with you and will be introducing you on the Sunday morning. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heidi, and thank you for this quick rundown on our meetings. Just a note with regards to the board questions workspace. Obviously, we need to submit those questions in advance to the board so the board can formulate some kind of answers and not just provide us with a personal reply from the chair or a personal reply from some of the board members if they haven't had a chance to discuss things beforehand. What I would suggest is that we keep that wiki page open for the next 3 days, 3-4 days, until the end of the week, really. And we really need those questions in those workspaces as soon as possible. So that's just a plea again for input. Otherwise, we'll just, well, if we have nothing to ask of the board, then why are we having a meeting with the board? I would have thought it would be quite a happy thing to be able to speak to the board directly and ask our questions. Okay, any questions or comments on the Beijing update? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. I see people, calls are dropping off because I think we're reaching the two-hour mark on this call. I think we're just reaching one more thing, which is the update on the AP Rallo Beijing events. Has there been any, because I know that, is anybody able to give us some details on this?
Olivier, I can do that if Holly is unable to do that.
Yeah, Holly unfortunately is unable. Yeah, she seems to have dropped out. So if you could please, Heidi.
So very briefly, there are lots of activities being planned starting on Sunday morning with an AP Rallo ALS introduction. They will be joining the ALAC and regional leaders on the Sunday full-day session. There will be a working lunch on that Sunday with all of the AP Rallo ALSs. ICANN is providing a box lunch, so that will be a good working lunch opportunity on Sunday. On Monday, it's a big day for them. They are going to be having an AP Rallo multi-stakeholder session with two themes. An excellent number of panelists will be speaking on that. That's going to be in the afternoon, followed directly by the AP Rallo showcase and reception. So I hope everyone comes to that. There will be lots of good promotional items distributed at that event. There'll be a general assembly on Tuesday in the afternoon, followed by an AP Rallo monthly meeting on Thursday. And there'll be a Chinese ALS forum on Thursday morning as well. And I think that's it.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. Any questions on the AP Rallo event? It's really great to see, once again, a large number of events having been put together with volunteers having worked to put these events together, of course, with the help of staff as well. But it's heartwarming to see how each region has always managed to come up with a large number of events and activities in their region. So I really look forward to attending those. And I'm sure many others do as well. We're now in the last part of our agenda. That's the any other business. And there wasn't any earlier. Has anyone? Anyone got any other business? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. I see a lot of people appear to have been disconnected or on mute or something somehow. But I have to thank all of you for having lasted those 2 hours. The time is 16:03 UTC. It's been a very productive call. And for those people who are traveling over to Beijing, may I wish you all to have a safe trip and to get plenty of sleep until then, because it looks as though we're not going to get any sleep whatsoever in Beijing. And that's primarily because we have work that is enough for 24 hours a day. So thanks very much to all of you. And this call is now adjourned.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thanks to the interpreter.
Thank you, Olivier. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.